as I was studying this week and preparing, I wanted to continue on the bride, but I got the Lord sidetracked me, and he gave me the passage I gave you in Ephesians chapter 2. I'm just going to read that again briefly and reiterate what I've already said. And we know, and Bible memory verse, if you have not memorized Ephesians 2:8, it's a great one to memorize. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, as things should boast. And the Motts, they have Sharon has a daughter named Grace and Faith, which is kind of cool, the colors in the verse. In verse 10 it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I've already said that word workmanship in the Greek, it's actually a poem or a masterpiece. And I'm not the type of guy to go to a coffee shop for a jam session for poems. I know guys who do that. But I enjoy poems and the beauty of them. And you read even in the Bible. And sometimes I've listened to some poems and it's just wow. And it's just the beauty of the literature of it. And to just pause on that from everything that's already been said in worship. And the Lord says, look at Paul, you are his workmanship, you are his poem, you are his masterpiece. And a big part of Ephesians is saying who we are in Christ, who Christ is in us, and how he sees us. We're often painfully aware of what we're not, and we're not aware of who we are. And I'm the worst. I can ask my wife, I can give a list. I'm not this, not this, not that, not that. What am I doing? What am I saying? I should go to Ephesians. Who am I? Who does he see me as? Because truthfully, if I get my identity, my value, my worth from him, what's it that matters, right?
Amen.
Who does he say that I am? Who I am in Christ? And so, we've spoken a lot. I'm not going to go into Ephesians 5:2. We've talked a lot about that. One thing I appreciate that Pastor Dan brought out last week was even the marriage situation. I was talking to my dad some about that this week. And in that culture, it wasn't let's eat and let's date for a while and nothing binding until we say I do. And that time it was binding before when you're betrothed to someone. And so we're born into the kingdom, but just because we're born doesn't mean, hey, I've got it all together. And there's a continual process of knowing and growing in intimacy with the Lord and learning who he is. And I gave the example of a baby when Evan was born a few weeks back. It looks like a war scene after the baby's born. The first thing they do is make sure everything's okay, but they clean them off. About being washed in the blood, and we're kept clean through the washing of the water. Amen. I want to share a few things. I had a litany of stuff, and I'm not going to go through all of that. But I do have a few things in this passage, and I'm not going to spend long on one thing. I feel like the Lord's giving me something else. But look where works are. Not of works, lest any should boast. Yet we are his workmanship, created for good works. You get that? I receive nothing from the Lord by works, not of works which I have done. Everything I receive is on the basis of what he's already done. Right? So if it was up to me, I'd be in bad shape. Every day. I receive it based on his works. But in the process, once I receive it from his works, I become his workmanship. And he does a work in a pruning and a process for good works. Right?
Yes.
It's the works. Oftentimes it's, I'm going to do good works so I can receive his good work. And we get it backwards. I was talking with Bob last week some about that. And we can drill it into people. Like I've already said, you're not doing this, you're not doing that. Man, I'm the worst for this, so I can speak on it. You're not doing this. And we compare ourselves with others, we compare ourselves, and we're so painfully aware of what we're not, rather than receiving what he's done and recognizing, okay, now, Lord, I'm your masterpiece and your poem. I'm your workmanship. You're going to do a work within me for good works. And so that's important to read the book of James. Faith without works is dead, right? Show me your faith by your works. And so our life should produce something. Amen? There's fruit. And so we've talked about this with the bride. In union, he's the seed carrier. He puts the seed in us. There should be fruit that's birthed from what he's done in us, right?
Amen.
Right.
And so if all I have is, yes, I've received a good work, and now I'm just going to hang out until it also should produce something in me. And it shouldn't be even a strain. It should just be a natural outflow of who He is in me, right?
Amen.
And it should be every single day I'm aware of, Lord, this is who You said. Go out this week and just say, Lord, I'm Your poem and I'm Your masterpiece. Everywhere I go, there's something of expression that You want to express through me, through the world. Amen? And God does a work in and through us. So a few things I want to share. I'm going to skip over a couple. I've already said that. I'm going to skip over a few things. I want to try to get to the heart of this. First and foremost, we are His workmanship. There's a message I could share, and I'm not going to, but it's how we respond. Do you know, in Scripture, look at Adam and Eve. Look at Cain. It actually says that they left and they retreated from the presence of God. Prophet Jonah left the presence of God. You retreat from the presence of God. There's an element in our lives where all of us, and I said that again this morning, be aware of His nearness to you. There's what's called the manifest presence. There's the omnipresence. Do I not feel heaven and earth? But every day I've given this example, and I got it. I was listening to Bill Johnson. He said, if you have a dove that lands on your shoulder, you're sitting, a dove lands, you're not going to be like, oh, I'm just going to... You're going to be painfully aware of the dove, right? If I'm in the park, and a dove lands here, and I get up, I think it's pretty cool, and I want to keep walking. I'm painfully aware, I'm happily aware, there's the dove on me. Holy Spirit's likened to a dove. I don't have to feel anything all the time to be aware that the Lord is with me. Amen?
Amen.
And when the Lord starts to do a work within our hearts, I can be aware, Lord, You're doing this. There's a simple principle, like I said, bring us back to our first love. I was over there this morning, and the Lord just took me back to a season in my life, and still have it. I think all of us can do it. And it was just me and the Lord. And I could just go and get away and be with Him. Do we have moments like that in our life? Don't raise your hand and say yes or no. Because at the end of the day, we've talked a lot about corporate anointing. And I need you and you need me. But at the end of the day, the bride and the bridegroom, it's combined with it. When the bride's coming down the aisle and sees her groom, it's not I on you or I on you. Die on the groom. Amen? At the end of the day, there's a love relationship that we have to have. And coming back to this, I think this is the heart of God. We've been on the bride for 4 weeks. There's a heart relationship and a connection where I don't care about, you know, it's important to get stuff from other people. But I'm not relying on Sandra here to be my fill. Right? If I rely on you to be my fill, forget it. If you rely on me, forget it. I would wear you out, and I wouldn't be getting everything in the process. There are no secondhand experiences in God.
Amen.
There has to be an element where, you know what, I can receive from, she comes up to me after service, I always appreciate it, says, usually it's something I left out. Oh, I know. I should have said that. I appreciate that, and I need that. But I'm not relying on, I'm making a broader thing. I'm not relying on that for everything I have. I do, I'm in bad shape. Go to Him. I was speaking to someone this morning, and I was encouraging them. I said, you know, there's something about you. You're an overcomer. You get through stuff because you go to God. I've spoken on Habakkuk, whatever you say his name. He went to God in the midst of his trouble. Problem. Greatest testimony, one of the greatest testimonies we've gotten here, in my opinion, someone said, you know, I was in worship, in the midst of worshiping God, and my situation didn't change, but I did. What happened? In the presence of God, through intimacy, as He's working, the Lord lifts you above your circumstance and your situation. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. I'll go back there. I'm all scripture. Let me share something because I feel like the Lord gave me one specific thing and I want to share it this morning. We are His workmanship, but we are created for good works in Him. Philippians 2:13. And I have another translation of this, but Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." I love that verse. There's another translation. Let me read in the Amplified first. It says, "Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight." That's the Amplified. There's another translation. I don't have the name of it. But listen to this. It actually says, "God is constantly putting forth his energy within you, both of being desirous of doing his will and being able to do it." I like that. I'm going to read it again. "God is constantly putting forth his energy within you, both of being desirous to do of doing his will and being able to do it." God is working in me and putting his energy in me to both will and do it. What is it? So the energizer and bunny. Sometimes I wish I could. One time I felt the Lord tell me, and whatever you think about it, it's fine. I said, "Lord, I need a, what's the espresso, extra shot of espresso, your coffee drinker, in the spirit to continue going." And that God gives us something within us to move forward and press forward. All of us, and I've said this, all of us have unique giftings, unique callings, unique skill sets. And I was thinking about, you know, Owen, my son. Something that's interesting, it's just natural to him, natural to me. When I was his age, I liked the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I did it. And now my son likes it. He likes Superman. And he likes all these guys. And it's right now me, it's Bible Man. And so he goes on saying, "The Bible Man, the sword of the Spirit, is the word of God," and singing that song throughout the house, which is kind of cool. But there's something in a child, the scripture, of course, put eternity in our hearts, that longs for something greater than my present experience. And we see it in children, in natural children, like my son and my daughter will be there too. And as they get older, sometimes you can kind of squelch that out of them. There's something in us when we're born again. We come into the kingdom of God by birth, do we not? We must be born again and enter the kingdom of God. So I'm born again. And I believe there's something within each and every one of us when we're born again that has the same thing as the child. And we long for something greater. Supernatural should be natural, right? There's got to be more than this. There has to be something within me. And we desire, we're born again. I told Brad, I love talking to you. Brand new, and so excited for God. Supernatural is normal to you. It is. It's not a big deal. Something within all of us. And what can often happen is we're born again. And God puts all this stuff within us and expects us to walk it out and live and become his workmanship. As we go through, people say, "You know what? Can't really expect that. You know, that's, you know, that'll balance, push it to the side. Why can't I see someone healed?" We don't do that. I was listening to a guy who was ministering. A guy in South Africa, and he said his church, tremendous, he had a healing and miracle pool in his church. People would come and get saved and healed in droves. And he said, "I was in the bank one day in South Africa," and he said, "There were two men in front of me, other pastors, and I was behind them, and they were talking about me and my church, criticizing it." And he said, told my place, and he went, "Hello, how are you?" He said, one guy's like, "Oh," the other guy's saying, "You know," he got defensive. He's like, "You know, I don't think what you're doing. I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like that." And he says, "Well, what are people saying about you in the city?" And he said, "Well, thankfully, nobody's persecuting me." Was Jesus persecuted for what he did?
Yes.
He said, "I'm in good company. And forget everything else he said." Look back at some of the old, we celebrate guys like Smith Wigglesworth today. They weren't celebrated when they were coming through the ranks very often. Pushed them aside. Hey, cancer has to go in the name of Jesus. There's so many things in this word, I'm not even sharing about, that God's given to us. And what happens, create us for good works. We're born again. He works within us. And as we go and we press through, we say, you know, just like the child, stop asking questions. I was in a meeting one time, and a guy, his name is Brandon Worley, and he stretched me quite a bit. And he said, as children come through, we expect them and we teach them to stop asking questions and just have all the answers. We limit God because we want to have all the answers. I was talking to my dad this week, and there's a guy in their church who lost his daughter tragically in an accident. It was a couple years ago. And he was having coffee with my dad and said, you know, there's a box I have now for God, and says, I don't know. And I don't know box. God has more for us than we can imagine. And I was listening, the same minister was sharing, and he said, I went to a conference early in my ministry because he'd been run out of his denomination. They said, what you're doing is junk. You've seen people with AIDS here. They said, what you're doing is junk. And he said, I went to a meeting, and it was a conference, and the guy preaching, he said, what I want you all to do after this, the conference, he said, I want you, just like in, when you remember in kindergarten, we had nap time. And unfortunately, that goes away as you press through school. We had nap time. I remember nap time. And you would go turn the lights off, and you would, he said, tell everyone to close your eyes, have nap time, and just think. He said, what would I be doing for the Lord if I had no fear of man?
Amen.
What would I be doing for the Lord if I didn't fear, you know? I should... I have a word for you, but what if you don't like it or agree with it? Or what if what if you think I'm weird? I've been there. See someone in the hospital, I should pray for that person. What would we do? What would you be doing? I don't like to look past tense, what I would have done. What would you do going forward if there was no fear of man? You're coming down the aisle, and all you saw was your groom, and I wasn't worried what he said, what they said. It's a good question to ask. And I ask myself that. Clay, what would you be doing if there's no fear of what man thinks, what this person thinks, what they have to say about it? If I'm driven, all of us, for this person's approval, I might miss out on what God has. Maybe they would quench what God's put within me. Maybe just like they said, you know what? What you're talking about, you know, we don't want that. We don't like it. And just as they did, the prophets of old, just as they did, said, you know what? As they did to Jesus, put that stuff on the shelf, man. And God's put something within you in the time you were born again of the Spirit that says, you know what? There's more of God. There's more that the Lord has for me. It's just getting to anybody. Lord, what would I do for you if there was no fear? What would I do for you? I just, it's rare to find guys who just don't care. They don't care. I would encourage you, for example, if you come out Saturday, Peter, man, he just doesn't care. He goes for it, you know. I still have some timidity. I'm not saying you have to. But you can have as much of God as you want. We'll say that. Everyone agree with that.
Amen.
You can have as much of God as you want. I am His workmanship. I am created for good works. It should be a natural outflow of my personal reunion and relationship with Him. Joshua, I'm going to finish with a couple things. Joshua in Exodus 33, and we know this passage very well, as Moses met with the Lord face to face. Verse 11, it says, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. You know, every assistant in the Bible, Joshua did some pretty cool stuff, didn't he? He saw the giants, he wasn't scared of it. Let me say this too. You know David, have you ever thought about this way? David was anointed of the Lord. Samuel laid his hands, anointed. But when he saw Goliath, the giant that scared everyone else off, God used the giant, what everyone else was afraid of, to catapult him into what he wanted him to do. Amen. Same for Joshua and Caleb. We look at giants, we look at things that are big, and instead of tackling that thing, God's put within us to tackle. We say, no, I'll let someone else do that. That's for you. You do that. Or if they do it, we do like the David, we criticize them. You shouldn't do that. There's going to be a David who tackles that. Amen?
Amen.
Goliath, whatever it is in the land, hey, we can't go into the land. These guys are huge. They're going to run us over. And I said, Caleb had a different spirit. Do you have a different spirit? Where you look and it's not a problem, it's an opportunity to show and demonstrate the glory of God, who God is in the earth. He chooses to work the joining between heaven and earth, and God chooses to work through you. And you see the giants and say, hey, I'm not going to do it. Say, that's my opportunity to go into what God's calling me to do, what God's calling me to do. Amen? Every assistant didn't come into the place Joshua did, but he valued the presence of God. When everyone else left the camp, he stayed. And he didn't go like we could often do. And it's tempting. And we work for the pleasure of man. He could have said, you know, gone back and left with Moses. Hey, man, I was in there with Moses, and he was talking face to face with God, and I was there too. And, you know, I'm connected with this guy and this and that. He stayed in there because his approval came from the Lord, because he valued the Lord over what everyone else had to say and do. Amen? That was proven. When everyone else said, you can't go, Joshua said, yes, we can. You can't do it. You can't do it. Yes, you can. See, he valued. He stayed in the tabernacle. He stayed where the Lord was. He valued the bride and groom relationship of intimacy and union. I'm all over the place this morning, but I hope something's coming out. He valued the intimacy and the union. Presence, and it didn't matter what this person said or that person said. He was a success. Even in that moment, before he did everything. Before you're a victor in the future, sometimes God has to let you be a victor in something seeming small circumstances when no one's around, no one's looking, and no one's doing anything, and you're pressing and you're contending for God. Amen. In here this morning, I hope it's looking at this verse. And the Lord says, you guys are a success in the ministry if you have the Lord and you value His presence, and His presence goes with you. What is a success? Contending for who He is. We're working. Our workmanship comes from His work, from an outflowing of a unity that comes from intimacy with Him. Does that make sense? Doing flows out of being. I can't do until I am. I can't be until I'm with Him. Makes sense. Lord, we desire intimacy with You, Jesus, so we can go and do what You call. Let me end with one thing. There's also, do you know, if you look at the church up there, we are as workmanship. Sometimes when we look at our lives, the church of St. Michael's, St. Michael's on the road. And we always marvel because they tore the thing down and they're building it back up. And if you look sometimes at construction, you know, God is a builder. And you can look and they're doing this over here and you say, well, it makes no sense, you know. Why are you adding this part to the building or that part to the building or this part to the building? And if you look with an untrained eye like mine, I can't see the end from the beginning of what they're doing when I drive by every day to see the construction. But somewhere, there's an architect who's got the perfect design in his office. And while we sometimes look at our lives, and we trust Him as workmen of God. We look at our lives and we can see like the building, like St. Michael's down the road. And we see this part going up, and that part going up, and this guy working over here, and this guy working over here. And we don't know what it's going to look like. And we can't see it. But you have to trust the planner.
Amen.
Who's your architect who sees and has it all finished in his office? And you say, Lord, there's something going on. I don't know why You're doing this one right here when I would do this one over here. and the steeple should go up here, but you're looking like it's over here. And all the while, in the office, the Lord says, I already see the end from the beginning in your life. I am the workman. I work within you to produce that which I've called you to be. There's an element of trust that was a big part of worship and everything that was said. Can you trust Him when your life seems, Lord, what is this? Why is this going on? Lord, I am pursuing you. I am growing in you. But it makes no sense. Can we trust Him in the middle of that? And say, Lord, I don't see what you're doing. It's easy for me to look and see what this guy's doing and what that guy's doing. But I know that in your office, what you've put within the desires of my heart, Lord, be your desires. And you've already seen the end from the beginning. You've seen the big picture. And you're working it out. And I can trust you. I can rest in you. In honor of the Word, I can look in the Word and say, what does the Word say, not how I feel? Amen? We spoke about that a few weeks ago. In your life, what does the Word say? What does He say? Often we're governed by our emotions. Or we're governed by... And I'm the worst for this. I'm governed by what I see. And I'm governed by the frayed parts all over the place. And there's a chance to go back and say, Lord, I'm not doing this. I'm not approved based on my works. I'm approved based on your work for me. You've already done a work for me, which means I'm approved. And now I'm your masterpiece. I am your poem. You're doing a work within me. I've been all over the place this morning, but you're working within me. There's an intimacy and a union that's happening. You're making me your masterpiece. It might look messy. It might look like St. Michael's down the road when half the wall is not put up yet, and it looks like this, but you're doing it, and I know you're doing it, and sometimes we have to remind ourselves, Lord, I know you're doing it. Find other people. Yes, the Lord is doing it. The Lord is doing it. And in that, even, and this is good too, even while you're in the middle of that and things seem a mess, He still works through you. If God can only work through me when everything's situated right, then be waiting a while. Same for you. But even when it's a mess, and I don't have it all together, and I can't see the end from the beginning, God is still doing the work. He's still producing something.
Amen.
And I feel it of the Lord so strongly that some of us in here, it's already been said, our life and our situation looks like St. Michael's down the road before it's built. And I can't see why this is going up and that's not going up. The Lord's heart for you this morning is that He loves you so much. And He's done the work for you. And now you're His masterpiece and His poem. And He says, even if you can't see it, I'm doing it. And my picture's on the wall. And I know what I'm doing. One of the hardest things to do, been there, done that, had the t-shirt, is to trust God when I don't know what He's doing. Has everyone else been there?
Amen.
I trust God and I don't know what He's doing. I trust Him. I'm going to end with this. I remember in my life, and I've shared some of this with some of you, Andrew and I went through just a horrible season. Horrible. And the Lord worked all this out. But I thought all I had to do was change my environment and I would be changed. And then I changed my environment and I wasn't changed. Same circumstance, just different parts in the play, different actors. And I had to come to a place where I said, Lord, it doesn't make sense. I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. But in spite of all of that, I didn't know this at the time, but Lord, I'm your masterpiece. A good writer, he's still writing. He hasn't finished the sentence yet. He's still writing that poem. And Lord, I don't know how the end of the poem's going to be. I don't know what the next two stanzas are. But I have to trust that you're the master writer. and I can trust you. And just as I was saying before, it's in a place where, you know what, Lord? I don't know the end from the beginning, but I trust you because you are. And in that place you can come to in your life, and I'm speaking on it, I feel like it's for someone in here, I don't know who. There's a working and a process that even if your circumstance and situation doesn't change, you change. And ultimately you'll see, as you change, the things around you start to change. Oftentimes God's more interested in you than he is an external circumstance that seems like it's the worst thing in the world. What's eternal in it? Fix this so I don't hurt. Take away this so I'm not in pain. Or Lord, you're working all this together. God works all things together for the good of those who love God and call according to his purpose. Do you love God?
Yes.
You call it according to his purpose?
Amen.
What does all mean in the Greek?
All.
Thank you. All things. So Lord, you work all things together for our good this morning. Lord, I thank you. You took me all over the mat, but I feel like it was for someone. Lord, you work all things in our life, Father. Lord, you are the great workman. Lord, you are the author of our life. Lord, you are Picasso and we're your masterpiece. And Lord, why sometimes we can't see and sometimes we don't know, Lord, we are connected with you as the bride and the bridegroom. Lord, we're in the getting to know, we're getting to know you. We're learning you. We're learning your ways. Show me your ways that I might know you, was Moses' prayer, Father. That could be our prayer, Lord. Show us your ways, God. Lord, just lift up everyone in here, Lord, this morning. Lord, that as we go out throughout the week, Lord, that we are, have the knowledge that we are your masterpiece. And it's a natural flow, God. Lord, that you emanate from us, God. That we are salt and light. And when I can't see the end from the beginning, Lord, I ask that you would just impart to each and every one of us a deep divine sense of rest and trust. Lord, your word says labor to enter into that rest. There's a rest for us, God. And sometimes it's a struggle to find it. And it's not the way we think and not the way we look, but there's a rest for the people of God. And so I just thank you, Father, this morning, for this people, Lord, that there's a rest for each circumstance, each situation, Lord, each life, that there's a rest, God. And as we took it all in earlier, Father, Lord, we're amazed at how you love us. Lord, we can see the beautiful things throughout the day. Lord, you can even speak to us of your love for us, God. We are your masterpiece. We are your poem. And you're working something within each and every one of us in here far greater. And Lord, I pray before we're done, Lord, that if anyone in here, Lord, has quenched, Father, the flames that you put within them when they were born again, and they've allowed religious tradition to come in and say, this is not for you, and that's not for you, and you can't have this, and you can't have that. Lord, the Spirit of God, Lord, I ask that you impart that, Lord, and that you just burn within their hearts anew and afresh, God. Lord, that it's a flame that cannot be extinguished. It's a flame that cannot be put out, God. Lord, because we are your ministers in this earth, you've chosen to partner with us, God. And I thank you for that, Lord, for each and every person in here, Lord. I thank you for what you've spoken to us this morning. Lord, we thank you for your heart for us. And we love you, we honor you, and we bless you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, you guys be blessed. I hope you got something out of that. I feel like it was the Lord. And there's snacks downstairs, so please come and fellowship. Amen. Bless you.
Amen.